This is Nick Wright with Zachary Fillingham from geopoliticalmonitor.com. And Zach, today we're going to talk about the upcoming Ukraine election with a special emphasis on the presidential election scheduled for March 23rd, 2019. So Zach, tell us about this election and why it's important.
Okay, so, the Ukraine crisis needs not any introduction, really, in terms of its geopolitical importance. It's become one of the sort of pressing issues of the current international order over the last 5 years or so. But this election itself could produce a few surprises in Ukraine. The first thing I want to talk about is Russia, for obvious reasons. Basically, the way that Russia plays in the Ukrainian election has changed a lot. And ironically, a lot of it has to do with Russia's own actions. Basically Russia's policy towards Ukraine is, its motivations are self-evident. It wants to keep Ukraine within the Russian orbit, and it wants to maintain a sort of an exclusive security sphere over Ukraine, keep Ukraine from drifting towards the West. Those are the goals that caused the Putin administration to embark on its Ukraine policy and its support for the separatist republics in eastern Ukraine back in 2014, the annexation of Crimea. So when it did that, ironically, it cut the part of Ukraine away from Ukraine that historically has supported pro-Russia candidates. So it basically cut the primary support base away from what was formerly the Party of Regions, which was the pro-Russia party that was in power before the Maidan protests. So without that demographic in the elections, there is basically no hope for a serious pro-Russia candidate to win. All of the pro-Russian candidates are polling at around under 10%. So as a powerful force in Ukrainian politics, the pro-Russia camp is no longer exists. There's no longer any serious mainstream party that's advocating sort of staying in the Russian sphere of influence, joining the Eurasian Union, etc. So on the other hand, on the contrary, basically the belief that Ukraine's future lies in the West, in Western institutions like NATO and the European Union, etc., that has become the mainstream consensus in Ukrainian politics. So you will not find a presidential candidate that is, well, essentially, that is not espousing these views. So in that sense, the sort of conversation in Ukrainian politics has shifted in terms of Russia. And so Russia's also playing a big part in the lead up to the presidential polls in terms of disinformation. The sort of the campaigns that we've come to expect from Russia, obviously, even though Russian misinformation campaigns have become prominent all throughout the Western world, primarily the Baltics, the U.S. presidential elections, the French presidential elections, and less successful initiative. So basically, this all started in Ukraine. So it should be no surprise that in the lead up to these elections, it's the campaign is whirring at high gear. And the themes we've come to expect from this disinformation campaign are still present. You can check them all out at the EU versus Disinfo website or similar initiatives that try to chronicle different Russian disinformation campaigns. But the themes are still the same, basically trying to stress the weakness of the Poroshenko government in Kiev. Weakness in terms of economy, weakness in terms of the Ukrainian army, the Ukrainian navy, stressing Ukrainian impotence following the Kerch crisis, and portraying the government as the the spiritual successor to the Nazis, et cetera, et cetera. So these campaigns are already playing out, and I'd say if there's one thing also against these campaigns, is Ukrainians are increasingly skeptical and expecting the disinformation. So I think they're starting to experience some diminishing returns.
NIFSAC, the support for pro-Russian candidates is no longer in Ukraine. What impact does the disinformation campaign have, other than perhaps attempting to diminish the spirit more broadly of the Ukrainian people?
Well, it's kind of interesting because, as I alluded to earlier, you know, it is sort of ironic that in this aggressive foreign policy that Russia has adopted over the last 5 years, when you look at it long term, it's kind of producing not so positive returns. Like the Ukrainian politician is turning against Russia, and it's hard to imagine that reversing itself given the course of recent events between Ukraine and Russia. So with that in mind, it's a good question as to what these campaigns can achieve in a sort of broader holistic sense in terms of promoting Russian interests in Ukraine. One thing they can do is that by delegitimizing the Ukrainian system, in theory, you'll make the Russian system look better by comparison. And that's a sort of broad theme that we see in all sorts of disinformation campaigns throughout the Western world. They're always based on sort of emphasizing the chaos and the instability of Western politics, democratic politics in general, as a way to sort of, by comparison, increase the credibility of more authoritarian political systems, that they produce stability, they protect the borders, more order, like crime and punishment order, et cetera, et cetera. And apart from that, there's always a bit of score settling here. So certain Ukrainian politicians are definitely detested in the Kremlin. Poroshenko, the current president, is one of them, along with Tymoshenko. They have a long history of being sort of anti-Russia firebrands. So I think that the campaign is also somewhat personal. It's directed at ruining their chances, in the same way that you could detect a bit of a personal vendetta in the way that Russian propaganda targeted Hillary Clinton. That was a personal vendetta between Putin and Clinton, at least in my opinion. And those personal vendettas also exist in Ukrainian politics, specifically targeting Petro Poroshenko, the chocolate king.
So in terms of who wins the election, doesn't make a difference as far as Ukrainian-Russian relations go, or is there pretty much a universal position amongst the major candidates on aligning with the West moving forward?
I think that there is a bit of a consensus in aligning with the West moving forward among the mainstream candidates. But when you look at the political field in Ukraine, it's incredibly split. There is no consensus candidate, and there is no candidate that is really, capturing the passions of the electorate. This is a very sort of anti-politics election. Unfortunately, we seem to go over this with a couple of elections we've covered in the Outlook series. Sort of anti-politics is on the rise in Ukraine. People are increasingly sort of apathetic about the political process. And a large part of that has to do with the fact that the leading candidates are all long-term sort of establishment candidates that have been around a long time, particularly Tymoshenko. And however, also Poroshenko, because when you go back to the 2014 election, Poroshenko was campaigning on sort of transforming the Ukrainian political system, right? It was a new dawn, sort of a break from the old order. He was sort of new enough to be acceptable for the electorate, and he got a sweeping mandate. So he was swept into power with, I think, well over 50% of the vote. And he was supposed to reform politics, create an anti-corruption agency that would hold sort of corrupt bureaucrats and elites to account, increase transparency in Ukraine, and sort of rebuild the Ukrainian state along the Western model. Because like the Ukrainian state still sort of grew out of the Soviet system, and in many ways it still inhabits that kind of headspace. He basically was elected on a message of hope. And now in 2019, we can look back on 4 years of Poroshenko rule, and we can know that the hope didn't materialize. It was false hope, because Ukraine was around 130 on Transparency International's rankings back in 2014. And it's still around 130 today. So basically it's sharing the rank with Myanmar and Iran. Not great company when it comes to transparency. So basically he knows, Poroshenko knows he's failed on this account. He's not even running on a message of reform anymore. Now he's running on sort of nationalist themes, language, promoting the Ukrainian language and keeping Russia down, keeping it from attaining official status in Ukraine. Obviously, language politics, very controversial subject. Again, the Ukrainian language, the pro-Ukrainian language bloc is in the ascendance, because most of the pro-Russia bloc was cut off in the civil war existing in the East. So there's language, there's faith. As we know, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church just split from the Russian Orthodox Church. So that's a big nationalist win for Poroshenko. And finally, there's army. So he's, for obvious reasons, he's playing the army card, and he's trying to portray himself as a strong nationalist military candidate to win, or I don't know if winning is possible, but to continue fighting the war in the East. To negotiate from a position of strength. So he's dropped the transparency. He's dropped all of that. Now he is a hardcore nationalist candidate. And combined with Tymoshenko, who is pushing many of the same themes, but along with some, you know, anti-IMF, anti-austerity, popular themes that obviously resonate throughout the Western political world as well. Because Ukraine was forced to adopt some pretty stringent austerity policies in the wake of the 2015 bailout. Again, they just received another bailout in December of this year. So basically, Ukrainians are looking at the slate of candidates and saying, we've seen all these people before. You know, you have the billionaire Poroshenko, links to the oligarchs. You have Tymoshenko, who is the gas princess, who also made her fortune in the sort of privatization and de-Sovietization era. And you have a couple of others who, you know, some interesting outlier candidates like Volodymyr Zelensky, who's a comedian who often plays Poroshenko on television, and Svitslav Vakarchuk, oh my God, I brutalized that, I apologize, who is a rock star who is widely, who has a wide popularity base in Ukraine, but who still hasn't thrown his hat into the ring. So you have some other candidates who are all polling around 8 or 9, 10%, but everybody, like the highest is Tymoshenko, and she has about 16% at last count. So basically there's a lot of apathy towards all of these candidates, and we're definitely going to see a two-round election. No one's going to win this in the first round.
And a possibility for a new and unexpected candidate to come to the forefront.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, when I was originally doing the research, that's the idea that struck me. But I mean, I don't know if that happens. Definitely it feels likely that will happen. However, I have no idea who that candidate is. There's no one. I mean, it could be Vakarchuk, the rock star. It's possible it could be him. The comedian just ran into a bit of trouble, his own first scandal with regards to royalties coming out. He's a very popular actor, performer, And I think he pledged previously in the sort of heat of the Crimea crisis to stop taking royalties from Russia. And then it was revealed, I think, I'm not sure on this, it was revealed that he was still receiving royalties or something. So that's been hitting his popularity lately. But it's hard. You would think so. You would think so. Because there's not a lot of compelling choices for Ukrainians. In fact, there have been a few recent developments that suggest that the push towards, the civil society push towards greater transparency and openness in Ukraine is backsliding. Like, there definitely, it's true, it's obvious there's no forward progress, but it also seems like it's backsliding. There was a high profile murder of a civil society activist named Katerina Hanzuk, who was killed by an acid attack in December. She was a member of the Kherson City Council. And she was, someone who was vocally calling Kyiv to account on making good on its promises for a sort of significant anti-corruption progress. Obviously, the country still lacks a national anti-corruption agency that has anything approaching teeth. It's always sort of half steps, back steps, and these sort of teethless organizations that can't really address the high level corruption that's believed to exist in Ukraine. So so not only is no forward progress being made, but there's starting to be increasing intimidation in civil society and the idea that things are getting worse, not better.
And I sure like brutal ways to assassinate people in the Ukraine, poisonings and acid attacks and pretty nasty stuff.
Yeah, that's terrible. Absolutely terrible. I mean, she's impressive. She's a strong woman. She lived for several months after that, and she underwent several surgeries, and she stuck to, her belief. It's unfortunate she passed away. But it's a sad story.
And the economy, is the election expected to have any impact on the economy? Are there policies being put forward that could lead to any significant economic changes?
I don't think there's not a lot of flex, not a lot of sort of wiggling room for any of the candidates. They're all locked in these austerity programs from IMF and other creditors. And they benefit from the fact that, the Ukrainian economy seems to have turned the corner. Inflation was 10% in 2018, which is bad, but it seems to be improving, and it's projected to hit around 7% next year. 2017 growth was around 3.4%, which is sort of middling. Unfortunately, it looks like it's turning down for 2019. The IMF is projecting around 2.7 growth. So, these numbers are good enough to, they're middling. They're not great because of the sort of deep contractions that Ukraine experienced amidst the civil war, but they're good enough to, they're good enough to imply that it's not an economic crisis and things are getting better on the economic front.
And can we expect increased alignment with Europe and the West economically, given that now amongst the larger players, there's consensus on alignment with the West?
Yeah, there's a consensus on alignment within Ukraine, within the mainstream of Ukrainian politics. But who knows? who knows what the consensus within the West is? There are these organizations like the EU, the IMF. They're dumping money on Ukraine, and without substantial reform within Ukraine, you never know whether that money is being well spent.
Interesting. Well, thanks so much, Zach, for informing us on the upcoming Ukraine election, with the presidential election scheduled for March 23rd, 2019. I will definitely keep apprised on what's going on in Ukraine and the region. For those who are interested in learning more about this and other issues affecting geopolitics and foreign affairs and international politics, you can check out our website at geopoliticalmonitor.com. And until next time, I'll talk to you then.